I don't know how many of you saw yesterday, I put an article that I put in at Easter, just, I guess somewhat my testimony, and I don't know how many of you grew up in my generation. I look around, there's many. I'm 65, be almost 65 years old, and when I was a kid, we didn't have plastic eggs. We had the real McCoy egg, hard-boiled, colored with dye, and if you were fortunate, you had stickers, and you put the stickers on the colored eggs, and if you were really fortunate, you had a mother who hid the eggs, hid the candy. I mean, you looked all over. How many of you did that as kids? Put your hand up high. That's many of us. But your parents hid the baskets, and it was a great time, wasn't it? Honestly, I loved it. And I loved the reward of finding the baskets and eating. I loved solid chocolate bunnies. Loved them. And we had, back then, we still had the Reese's peanut butter cups, not cups, but eggs. And I loved them, too. I loved chocolate and peanut butter. And so we would get those, and we would get all kinds of candy. You know, the little eggs, chocolate solid little eggs. But I like black jelly beans. Anybody else like black jelly beans? How many of you hate black jelly beans? Yeah, I won't take a vote there. But I love black jelly beans. I mean, that was honestly, I do. And I still like black licorice and jelly beans. But when I was 21 years old, I was traveling in Florida. I was a hippie, long hair down just below my neck, down my back. And I was hitchhiking. And I went down to my dad and mother could not take my drug life anymore, so they said, you got to leave. And so I went to Florida. It was in 1974, and some of you remember the Arab oil embargo. You could only buy gas every other day. Anybody remember that? Every other day, depending on if you had odd or even license plate, the last number, and that's when you bought your gas. So I parked my car and hitchhiked. And I got down, I was going down to Fort Lauderdale to be with my cousin, who was a pitcher for the New York Yankees. His name was Sparky Lyle, very famous pitcher at that time. He was actually a Cy Young Award winner, so he was well known, but he held out on his contract and he wanted more money. So I didn't have a place to stay. I'm down in Fort Lauderdale with my thumb in the air, backpack, and as you know, my marijuana shirt. And crazy, I can't tell you the whole story, but really, really crazy. But when there was no work in Fort Lauderdale, and I mean, I tried, there was 200 guys that looked just like me at the unemployment office in Fort Lauderdale. So I hitchhiked and went back up to Central Florida where I got a job at an orange plant in Umatilla, Florida, just outside Eustis, Florida, and got a job there at this orange plant, driving a forklift. And I was living in a labor camp. It was a Mexican labor camp. By Mexican, I mean they were immigrants that came up to pick fruit. And where all the people without a place to lay your head stayed was in this immigrant, surrounded by barbed wire. I mean, it was really interesting. But some people, I got robbed. What little I had, I lost, except for personal items and what money I had. So I went into work that Saturday, and some people I worked with invited me to church. And so for the first time, really, in my life, I wanted to go to church. 21 years old. Due to circumstances, Anyway, I get into church, and I'm sitting all the way in the back, and I just start crying. I got into this church, and it was a small church, sitting all the way in the back, and God just began to convict my life. And I realized that day, I went forward at an invitation. They gave an invitation, and God spoke to my heart very clearly, go up and hear what this man has to say. So I walked all the way from the back, weeping. And the man told me that I was a sinner, and I said, well, I know I'm a sinner. And he told me God loved me. And I said, I don't believe that because you don't know my life. And he showed me the verse that God did love me. In fact, it said this, it changed everything, that God demonstrated his love for us while we were still sinners. Christ died for us. And I figured that if God could love me as a sinner, if God demonstrated his love while I was still a sinner, then he could love me. And then he shared the truth that changed my life. Christ arose the third day from the dead. Now, I know that most of you have known that practically since the day you walked out of the womb. I shouldn't say walked out, but from the day you came out of the womb, you were raised and you believed in your head that Christ arose. But I had never heard that. I wasn't raised in church. That's hard to believe, isn't it? I wasn't raised in a church. I didn't know Christ rose from the dead. I didn't know Easter was about the resurrection. And so when I heard that, I heard that Christ died for my sins, and I thought, that's beautiful. And then when I heard he arose again, for some reason, at that moment, literally, my eyes were opened, and I believed in Jesus Christ. And he changed my life. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, talking about the resurrection, it says this, and I'd like to read it to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3. For what I received, I passed on to you, as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, meaning according to the Old Testament predictions, that he was buried and he was raised on the third day, according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also as one abnormally born. You see, Jesus Christ and his resurrection weren't done in a corner. He showed himself to dozens of people. And in one appearance, as many as 500. Now, there's a couple hundred people here today. If you all saw the same thing at the same time, you'd say it was a fact. But if you double this crowd and add another 100 more, and they all see the same thing, you'd say this is true. And I'm saying to you that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is a certainty. But the question is, then, if that's a certainty, what will you do with it? Let's turn to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. If Jesus Christ has conquered death and is raised from the dead, in Revelation chapter 1, John received this revelation from Jesus Christ. In 1:17, John writes, and when I saw him, that is the glorified Christ in heaven, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. Notice it says, Jesus says, I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and evermore. And I hold the keys of death and Hades. Christ holds in his hands the keys that can open hell. The Bible says that we all have sinned and deserve hell. And I know speaking on Easter Sunday, speaking of eternal hell and going to hell when you die without Christ is not kosher. In fact, I think if you took a survey today, probably as many as 7 out of 10 people would say they don't believe in hell. But it doesn't matter whether you believe in hell or I believe in hell or whoever believes. It doesn't matter. It doesn't make it less true. Hell is just as real as heaven. In fact, Jesus spoke more. The God, Jesus Christ, the one who showed more love than any man ever showed to a human soul, spoke on hell more than he spoke on heaven. Hell is very real. It is real. And whether you believe it or not, doesn't matter. One day you'll find out if it's real or not. I shouldn't say not, because I know it is real. And Jesus holds the keys to death and hell. Now I want you to turn to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, verses 4, 14 and 15. This is the final judgment. And the Revelation reveals what it will be like at the great white throne judgment. In 20 verse 11, it says, John writes, and then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was found no place for them. He says, I saw the dead, that is, dead in sins, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. And then another book was opened, which is the book of life. The unsaved, the dead, were judged according to what they had done, according as in the books. In other words, every person who is dead in their trespasses and sins, the books will be open and there will be Joe Doe or John Doe or Mary Doe or somebody else's name. And their lives will be their entirety. Their choices, their sins, and they will be judged according to the things written in the books. Hear that, plural, books, it says. The dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books. Now I want you to skip down to verse 14. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire, and the people in them. The lake of fire is the second death. Now, if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, there's the books, and then there's another book, the book of life. And if anyone's name was not written in that book, they were cast into the lake of fire. Meaning, the question then is, how do you get your name in the book of life and out of the books? And you get your name there, written by God, when you turn from your sinful life and turn to Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now that's your part. Your part is to see, I'm a sinful man, I'm a sinful woman. As I saw myself, as I saw I was sinful and I wasn't worthy of God. I saw that my sins had separated me from God, but then I saw the good news that God loved me and that Christ died on the cross to pay for my sins. And when I believed, I called out in faith on Jesus Christ and I asked him to come into my life. And he did. He gave me a new life. And that's God's part of salvation. My part is to see my sin and to say, God, I'm sick of my sin. I'm sick of sin ruling and ruining my life. I can't stand my life the way I'm living it. And I also know that my sin will lead me to separation from God in the lake of fire. I turn from my sin, and I turn to Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And when I do, or you do, your name gets written in the book of life. And when your name is written in the book of life, you will not be cast into the lake of fire. And that's the good news of salvation. That's the good news of Easter. He is risen, and he has the power. He holds the keys to open up the door to hell, out of hell. And you can today leave hell in the kingdom of darkness and go into the kingdom of Jesus Christ by an act of your faith in Christ and calling on God to save you, to come into your life. Now, I've spoken on hell. Let me quickly mention the good news. Revelation 22:1. It says this, "Then the angel showed me a river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit." I'm sorry, I meant Revelation 21, I think, 1 through 5. That's it. Revelation 21, 1 through 5. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first earth and heaven had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Now the dwelling of God is with men. And he will live with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things have passed away.' He who was seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.' Then he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.'" You know, I want you to know clearly this morning, please hear this, that God loves you. He did everything he could to offer you heaven, to offer you to enter into his kingdom, into the new heaven and the new earth. And he gave his only son, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And the question is this: what will you do with Jesus Christ in his resurrection? And you say, well, it doesn't matter. And you say, well, you might say with someone else, well, that's what you believe, but that isn't necessarily what I believe. And I want you to know, it doesn't change the fact that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. There is coming a judgment, and unless your name is written in the Lamb's book of life, when you trust in Christ alone to be your Lord and your Savior, you will be eternally separated from God in the lake of fire. I can't change that truth. But you can change it for yourself as I did. Have you believed in and trusted Jesus Christ to be your Lord and your Savior? And if you haven't, today is a great day to make that decision. Today is a day, in fact, the Bible repeatedly says, today is a day of salvation. If you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Receive him today. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you that you are the resurrection and the life. And he that believes in you never dies. But we are passed from death into eternal life. But I also, Lord, pray for that soul here this morning that has come in and doesn't know you as their Savior, Christ. I pray that today they might even pray with me this prayer and pray to you, Lord. And if you pray this prayer in your heart and mean it, God will save you today. Lord Jesus, I believe with all my heart you died on the cross for my sins. I believe you arose the third day, factually, and that you're alive bodily at the right hand of the Father. I call upon you to be my Lord and my Savior. I turn from my life, live for myself and sin. And I turn to follow you today. Send your Spirit into my heart and save me. And I pray these prayers, this prayer and truth in Jesus, your name, save me, Lord. Amen. If you prayed that prayer this morning and you meant it with your heart, there's a card in front of you on the back of the seat. If you'll take your name, put your name and your phone number, how I can reach you, we will reach you very soon. And you've made the greatest decision that can change the rest of your life. As I said, I prayed that prayer when I was 21 years old. And you can pray it. And if you did pray it, let us know of that decision.